We've been discovering that God really wants us to know what His will is, and you should know that by now. And that is that God wants us to not be unwise, Ephesians 5:17, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we've discovered that God not only helps us to know His will by being sensitive to His Spirit and by paying attention to His direction, but also by being students of His Word. That is, by studying and reading the Word of God, that we can discover what the will of God is. And we've been discovering that the will of God is not only for us to be saved, and the will of God is not only for us to be surrendered completely to Him and to be separated from the world, not to be conformed to the world, that the will of God is for us to be sanctified, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. And we've been discovering that the will of God is for us to be satisfied, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 18. That is, we've been discovering that God, His will for us is for us to give thanks and to do it in everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. The will of God for you is that you will give thanks in everything. We've been discovering and trying to learn a little bit about what that means. And the reason why is because we've been discovering that there's more to this than just a surface understanding of the idea of giving thanks. It has nothing to do with a turkey dinner. And it has nothing to do with a certain day on the calendar. As a matter of fact, it doesn't have anything to do with our circumstances much at all. The Bible teaches us that we're to give thanks in everything, that the will of God is for us not to just give thanks once in a while. The will of God is not for us to just give thanks when things are going rather well in our circumstances, but we're to give thanks all the time, and we're to give the thanks in everything. And if that's going to happen in our life, if that's the will of God for me, then I'm going to have to move beyond just a surface understanding of what it means to be giving thanks. As a matter of fact, there's going to have to be something happen on the inside of my heart that's going to transform me from being a self-centered person who is always just wanting my own way to somebody who's learned how to be satisfied in all things. And that satisfaction has got to be resting in something other than me or something other than my circumstances. It's got to rest in something more than my health and my wealth. And that is, there's got to be a satisfaction that is resting in who God is. That is, in the person of God, in the purpose of God, and in the provision of God, in the will of God for my life. And that is just being satisfied or being content, as Paul would use in another place, being content in whatever state I'm in, that is, in whatever circumstances, is a contentment, an underlying contentment or satisfaction because I know Him. That is, a satisfaction that is rooted in the Word of God, in the person of God, in the purpose of God, and in the provision of God. We've been looking at this from the Word of God to try to get a better understanding of how that can happen in my heart, of how I can develop or experience that level of satisfaction on the inside that will allow me to give thanks on the outside in everything if that's the will of God for me. We looked at some at the example that Paul is for us in the Bible. We looked at some of the encouragements that he gives us. We talked about the experience of this from the Scriptures, and we spent some time talking about the extent of this giving thanks using those three words, in everything, which led to us considering for several services what I'm calling the enabler or the enablement of giving thanks. And that is, the same one who commands us to give thanks in everything is the same one who enables us to do exactly that. And that is, that God is not telling us here that His will is for us to give thanks and He leaves us on our own to figure out how to do that. That is, the one who commands this, the one who expects us to give thanks, is the same one who enables us to give thanks so that we can have this satisfied heart out of which we can be grateful in everything. And you and I have discovered that we are enabled, first of all, by the Son of God. And that is, the Bible says here that we are to, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that little phrase, in Christ Jesus, I spend some time preaching to you about because it's so important for you to understand who you are when God saved you, who you are now that you are in Christ. That is, you've been taken out of Adam, placed into Christ. And when God placed you in Christ, He positioned you in such a position that now you can give thanks and that you can give thanks in everything. And I preached about that in a previous service. and that is that we are enabled by the Son of God. And then we've been discovering over the last few services that we are also enabled by the Spirit of God. And that is the reason why that we can give thanks in everything or have this satisfied heart in all of our circumstances is because of the one, not only that we're in Christ, but because of His Spirit who lives on the inside of us. When you got saved, as you know, the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you. He indwells you on the inside. He lives in your body, on the inside of your being, from the moment of your conversion. And listen to me now, because you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, you have what you need to be able to give thanks to God and to give thanks in everything, to have a heart that is satisfied with God and satisfied with God's provision and with the purpose of God in your life. You have everything you need to be satisfied. It has nothing to do with the money in the bank. Hey, it has nothing to do with the food in the cupboard. But it has everything with the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. That's what brings real satisfaction. The only thing that satisfies the human soul is God the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. That's it. Things don't satisfy. Oh, they may give you a little thrill for a little while it's new, until it breaks down and then you'll wish you hadn't had it. And, things don't bring satisfaction. Substances don't bring satisfaction. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that really satisfies the human soul is God the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We were created for that. That is, we were created not only with a body so that we can live on this earth, not only with a soul so that we can be in relationship with others, but with a spirit. That is, there's an aspect of our being in which we can know God, encounter God, experience the reality of God's presence on the inside of us. But ever since Adam sinned against God and Eve sinned against God, humanity has been spiritually dead. And when you were born into the human race, you were born spiritually dead. That is, you didn't know God. He wasn't living on the inside of you. You didn't have fellowship with God. But listen, when God saved you, all of that changed, and now He lives on the inside of you, and that's the only thing that satisfies the soul, is God the Holy Spirit indwelling you in your spirit. That is in your heart. And that's the reason why that in the very next verse, after you and I read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hey, the very next verse tells us, gives us a command. Hey, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Spirit of God. That is the Spirit of God that came to live on the inside of you. That is, He came to live in your spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Ever since He's been living on the inside of you, He's been trying to do a divine takeover in every area of your life. His purpose, ladies and gentlemen, is to take over your life. That is, to take it away from the old you and to control your life, to control you from the inside out. That's His purpose for your life. That is for you to let go of control and let Him dominate your life. And don't quench that. That is, don't put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Remember now, the word quench there is a fire word. It's a word that describes what we do when something catches on fire. We try to put the fire out. But ladies and gentlemen, this fire that lives on the inside of you is a blessed fire that you need to let burn and don't put Him out. That is, don't quench the Holy Spirit, but instead allow Him like a fire to consume, to get a hold of, to spread like a fire into every area of your life. And so that you can be dominated by Him. It's the way, it's the pathway to real satisfaction. The satisfied heart, ladies and gentlemen, is the one that is not only indwelt by the Spirit of God, but is controlled or dominated by the Holy Spirit, like a fire that is out of control, dominates whatever's on fire. Even so, if you'll allow Him, the Holy Spirit will dominate your life from the inside out. And that's how you become, that's how you can give thanks in everything. That's how your heart can become truly satisfied, is whenever you not only know Him, but allow Him to fill and dominate your life. And so we've been trying to learn a little bit more about that. That is, if that is true, And that is, we know that every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And we know that every Christian has been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. At the moment of your conversion, He did that in you. We know that. We know we've been sealed. Every one of us who are saved have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. All of that is true and happens at the moment of conversion. But the issue is whether or not we're filled or controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not every Christian is filled with the Spirit. If that was true, then Paul would not have to command us what he commands us right after he tells us in verse 17 to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Right after he says that in Ephesians 5:17, the very next verse tells us not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, instead of trying to find satisfaction out of an intoxicant, that's where the world turns. Now listen, there are many other ways, many other places that our modern world turns to try to find something that brings satisfaction to our troubled souls. But in this time period, one of the things that often that they turn to, as you and I have discovered, is that they would turn to an intoxicating beverage that is like wine, that is the fruit of the vine that had been left too long and it became fermented, and they would drink that in order to try to get some kind of a buzz off of it, try to get some kind of relief or satisfaction for their soul. And the apostle is saying that should never happen to God's people. And that is, you shouldn't allow yourself to become intoxicated with the fermented wine. Don't let it happen in your life. You've got something to satisfy your heart better than that. You know what it is? It is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like too much fermented wine controls a person, even so the Spirit of God who lives in you wants to control you from the inside out. And when He does, He brings real satisfaction to the heart. You know what the result's going to be? Well, the Bible tells us in the next verses. Remember verse 19? Listen, if you allow the Spirit of God to fill your heart, you'll find yourself speaking to yourselves or among yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Hey, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, if you'll allow the Spirit of God to fill you, He'll so satisfy your heart that you'll have a song that's deep down on the inside of you that creeps up out of your inside, out of your heart, through your voice box and out off of your tongue. You'll find yourself singing from your heart to the Lord, expressing a satisfied heart. Not only that, but verse 20 says you'll be giving thanks always, hey, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit the Spirit of God brings such a satisfaction on the inside of us that we find ourselves giving thanks. Hey, not only in everything, but also for everything, and giving thanks to God. And the reason why we can is because the Spirit of God is dominating us from the inside out. There is a connection between being filled with the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, and giving thanks in everything. As a matter of fact, you can't do what God's telling us to do in Ephesians 5:18. You can't do what God is telling us to do in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, give thanks. You can't do it without the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the key. That's the key to being able to give thanks in everything. Is the Spirit of God dominating you from the inside? And I've been trying to spend some time talking about that because I think it's so important. As a matter of fact, the reason why I'm spending this time talking to you about being filled with the Spirit is because I believe it's the most important thing in your life after you get saved. It is most important. Is learning how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a common experience in the New Testament church. It was an expectation that they would be filled and dominated by the power of the Holy Spirit. The entire ministry depended on the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "You be my witnesses after the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And you and I are completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit to do any kind of ministry. Everything that we do that's within our power and our ability, ladies and gentlemen, does nothing but just entertain a crowd. The only thing that's going to happen eternally is what the Spirit of God does. We're completely dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I said to you in a previous service, if you and I are going to learn how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we desperately need that more than anything else, and what our community around us needs more than anything else, is a church where there are people that not only have been born again, but also are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then that means that we have to abandon everything that grieves the Holy Spirit. Anything that grieves the Spirit of God, we've got to get rid of it. If it grieves Him, it's got to be gone. If it's sin, it's got to go. Got to confess it and you got to get cleansed from it. Hey, if it's just stuff cluttering up your life, it's got to go. If it's grieving the Spirit of God, it's got to go. It may not be sinful, but it's cluttering up your life so you can't walk with God. It's got to go. If it grieves God's Spirit, it's got to go. Hey, you're going to have to deal with your flesh. That is your flesh. In Galatians 5, as we talked about Sunday, is going to take you in the opposite direction the Spirit of God wants to take you. You've got to learn how to put your flesh to death, how to crucify the old man, the old flesh. I preached a little bit about that. You've got to abandon everything that grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit. And then you've got to yield yourself completely to the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Hey, whatever the purpose of the Holy Spirit is, I'm going to give myself completely to it. Now we know what His purpose is. His purpose is to teach us. He wants to teach us, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to teach us the Word of God. He wants to teach us about the things of God. And you and I need to be all in to what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us. Ready to hear, ready to listen, and ready to learn. His purpose is to transform us. That is, from the person that we were into Christ's likeness. And you and I need to be all in. That is, Spirit of God, I want you to transform me, whatever that means and whatever it takes. I want you to change me from the inside out and make me more like Jesus. His purpose is to testify about Christ. And He wants to do it through you. You and I need to be completely yielded to the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Hey, finding out what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is, we need to yield ourselves to His purpose. I'm talking to you about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me mention to you something else this evening. That was my introduction. And that is, we not only need to abandon everything that grieves the Spirit and not only yield completely to the purpose of the Holy Spirit, but ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to be filled with the Spirit, we've got to follow fully after the direction of the Holy Spirit. Whatever way He's leading, we've got to follow fully. Whatever direction He wants us to go in, we just got to move in that direction. I want to remind you, the Spirit of God wants to lead you. And He wants to guide your life. It's kind of like playing the little game, follow the leader, like you did when you was a little kid. And I want to tell you that there's somebody ready to lead. His name is the Holy Spirit. And you better get in line and follow Him. If you don't, you're going to grieve the Spirit of God. You got to follow Him. That is His direction in your life. You say, Pastor, how do we know how the Holy Spirit is leading? Listen to what the Bible says in Acts 10. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. In Acts chapter number 10, it's the passage of Scripture where the Apostle Peter was used by God to open the door of the gospel to the Gentiles, beginning with a man named Cornelius. And the Bible says in Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 19, that after Peter had a vision, that is, he was praying, and God gave him a vision. And after that vision, the Bible says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. In other words, here Peter is on his housetop. And he's up there praying and he goes off into a vision and he begins to see these animals in this big net. And God says, rise up and kill and eat as I can. They're unclean. And God said, don't call unclean what I've cleansed. And he got him straightened out just a little bit. And about the time he woke up from his vision, the Spirit of God spoke to him and revealed to him that there's going to be some men knocking on your door. And as soon as you hear the knock, go down there and answer it. Now, some of you may be a little bit like I am. And that is, when somebody knocks on your door, you peek out the window and you see you don't know who they are and you don't answer the door. But if the Spirit of God ever tells you to answer the door, when somebody knocks, you better answer the door when somebody knocks. And the Spirit of God said, Peter, these men are going to want you to go with them. Now, if three strangers walked up to my house, if some strangers walked up to my house, knocked on my door and said, I want you to go with me, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be going anywhere. And Peter probably wouldn't have either, but the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, listen, these men are going to be coming, knocking on your door, and I want you to go with them. And so you know what Peter did? He went with them. The Spirit of God is speaking and directing him, and he's just following the direction of the Holy Spirit. And he led it. Listen, it led him to a man's house, a man named Cornelius, that God was dealing with him. He was seeking God with all of his heart. He wanted to be saved, and Peter shared the gospel, and the first Gentile convert, that is the first one who is now baptized by the Holy Spirit at the moment of his conversion, and the evidence of it is there for the Jews to see that the gospel has now gone to the Gentiles. The door is wide open now for Gentiles as well. Oh, listen, when the Spirit of God starts speaking, you better follow him. He's getting ready to do a great work. One of the great works, the door to the Gentiles is going to be open. One of the great conversions in all the Bible, Cornelius and his family, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, when the Spirit of God is working and getting ready to do something great, he'll speak to somebody. And when he speaks to you, you better follow his direction. You sure? Well, it's not just Peter and Cornelius, but one day the Apostle Paul was down there at the church at Antioch in Syria. He'd been there for about a year. That is him and Barnabas. Barnabas had been there for a little bit longer, and he went and found Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, and said, I want you to come down to Antioch. People are getting saved everywhere. Not only Jews, but Gentiles are getting saved, and I need you to come and help me teach them. And so he comes down there to Antioch of Syria, and he's helping Barnabas, and they're teaching those who've turned to Christ and establishing leadership in that new growing church in Antioch. And one day they were praying, and they were worshiping, and they were gathered together, and the Spirit of God spoke. The Bible says in Acts 13, there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And listen to this, as they ministered to the Lord. Now, I like that little phrase just off to the side as a side note. I like that, don't you? And that is the reason why they were gathered together, is not just to minister to each other. The Bible says here they were ministering to the Lord. You say, what were they doing? Well, they were probably praying, and they were probably worshiping. They were ministering to the Lord, and they were fasting, the Bible says, which indicates they were praying and fasting. Well, the Bible says as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Here they are now gathered together, and the Spirit of God begins to speak, and the Spirit of God reveals to these men of God who are praying and ministering to the Lord. The Bible says the Spirit of God spoke to them and said, these two men, that is Barnabas and Saul, I've got a special work for them to do, and I want you to set them apart for that special work that I've called them to do. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that's exactly what they did. Now listen, these are the leaders of their church. These are the main two teachers and leaders in the life of their church. Barnabas and Saul. And the Spirit of God said, I want you to set them aside and send them out. Probably if it had been in our church, we might say something like this. Well, we can hardly do without them. We need them here at our church. We don't want to send them away somewhere else. Oh, no, not a word. The Spirit of God said, send them away. And the Bible says they began to pray and lay hands on them and sent them out. I would just imagine that Barnabas and Saul probably thought to themselves, you know what? Listen, we don't want to leave this place. I mean, listen, this church is growing and souls are being saved, and it's wonderful, and worship is great, and everything's wonderful in the church, and we love them, and they love us, until the Spirit of God said, you've got to move on out and pack your bags. We're getting ready to go. And you know what they did? They got up and went. And I'm so glad they did. And the reason why is because that was the beginning of the first missionary journey. These men of God traveled in some dangerous places, faced some dangerous situations. As a matter of fact, were beaten and persecuted, and yet they kept on going. They didn't stop. When they got to Antioch of Pisidia, they were persecuted and ran out of town. And they kept going. They went to Iconium right after that, shared the gospel there. And again in Iconium, ladies and gentlemen, there was a plan to stone them to death. They found out about it, got out of Iconium and went down to Troas. And the crowd that was wanting to stone them to death caught up with them there. And Paul was stoned and left for dead. Little town called Lystra, outside the city. Believers gathered around him and probably began to pray, and God either raised him from the dead or healed him of his injuries. You know what he did? He went right back into the same town, went right back into Lystra and began to share with the believers that were there. You say, Pastor, what? I mean, how could they just keep going? I'll tell you the reason why is because the Spirit of God spoke to them one day and said, I'm going to send you out. They went and they weren't going to turn back. You see, that's what I mean when I'm saying following the direction of the Holy Spirit. Following His direction. When He speaks and you and I don't do what He says to do, we grieve Him. We grieve the Holy Spirit. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled or dominated by the Holy Spirit, I want to say this to you. Being filled with the Holy Spirit has little to do with our emotions and has much to do with our decisions. You say, I sure would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I could feel good. No, it's not how you feel. It's how you obey what He says. When the Spirit of God speaks, those who are filled with the Spirit, they obey His voice. When He says, get up and go, they go. And Peter goes, and all of a sudden, the gospel doors open to the Gentiles, Cornelius. And Paul and Barnabas go, and the first missionary journey begins, and souls are saved, and churches are started. That's not the end of it. It's just the beginning. Look at chapter 16 of the book of Acts and notice what it says. The Bible says in chapter 16, now this is the second missionary journey. And it says in verse number 6, when they had gone through Phrygia, that is a region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Here's Paul and Silas on the second missionary journey, and they've got a direction they want to go in, and the Spirit of God said no. Can't go in that direction. And the Bible says after that, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They're going to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of God said no. You can't go in that direction as well. So passing by Mysia, as they're traveling, they came to Troas. And when they were in Troas, the Bible says a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And here's what the vision was. It was simply a man of Macedonia. And he prayed or begged him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, we immediately endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. And they did, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah. The Spirit of God spoke, and He said, you can't go in that direction. Now, if I'd have been Paul, I'd have been scratching my head and said, what's wrong with going in that direction? Spirit of God said, no. You think, well, then it must be that direction. And the Spirit of God said, no, you can't go in that direction. You think, well, what am I supposed to do then? And so Paul went down to Troas and he just parked it there for a little while. We don't know how long. It seems like it wasn't long. And he just waited on God to speak to him. And ladies and gentlemen, lo and behold, the same one who said you can't go in that direction and you can't go in that direction spoke to him in a vision that night, and he saw a man from Macedonia saying, why don't you come and help us? And he knew that the Spirit of God, that the Lord was leading him to go into Macedonia. That is, to cross over the waters into the European continent and take the gospel to Europe. And they did. And I'm so glad they did. Hey, Thessalonica is going to hear the gospel now. Hey, the city of Philippi is going to hear the gospel now. Hey, the people in the city of Corinth are going to hear the gospel now. Hey, the people in Athens are going to hear the gospel now. And the gospel is spreading. And the reason why that it did, ladies and gentlemen, is not because that Paul, even though he was an intelligent, smart, strategic man, and he was all of that and much more. But it wasn't because of that. It wasn't because he sat down and devised a plan with him and the other leaders in the early church. It's because the Spirit of God spoke and they obeyed. That is, the Spirit of God said, this is the direction I want you to go in. And they just went in the direction. Listen, they didn't have that planned out. They didn't know what was going to happen. There was no strategy that said, you know what, we got to find a way to reach the European continent. It wasn't a strategy that man devised, but it was God who devised the strategy, ladies and gentlemen. And what they did was they heard what the Spirit of God was speaking, and they obeyed the direction that He was leading. Now, that's the key. That's the key to being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I don't know how to be filled with the Spirit. What do I need to do? I've said to you, you need to abandon everything that grieves Him. I've said to you that you need to yield completely to His purpose for your life. And now I'm saying to you that you need to follow completely and fully whatever direction He's leading in. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you, do what He says to do. You say, well, I don't know why. Don't worry about the why. Just obey Him. He knows why. And by the way, you can trust Him. He never does anything wrong. He never leads in the wrong direction. And so just follow His direction fully. Let me just say something else to you since you got a few more minutes. I know you do. And that is that we not only need to abandon everything that grieves the Holy Spirit and yield completely to the purpose of the Holy Spirit and follow fully after the direction of the Holy Spirit, but hey, we need to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Got to get to know Him. You say, because some of you are sitting here, you're wondering, well, how in the world do you know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? The same way you know when somebody else is speaking to you. Isn't it amazing you can be in a crowd of people and people are talking everywhere in that crowd and you're not really noticing anything particular that anybody's saying because you don't know their voice. You don't know who they are. And then all of a sudden in that crowd of people, you hear that voice that's familiar to you. It might be your spouse, it might be your neighbor, it might be your friend, it may be somebody else in your family, but somebody's voice you hear, and it's a voice that you're familiar with, and all of a sudden now you're listening to what it is that they are saying. Well, sure, because you know them. You've gotten to know that person, and you know their voice. Have you ever been sitting in a restaurant or in a public place and you hear somebody's voice and say, I recognize that voice. So-and-so is in this store, in this restaurant. Now, some of you, when you hear that voice, you might decide to go ahead and leave early. Or go down the other aisle. But most of you wouldn't do that, would you? Oh, no, when you heard that familiar voice or that familiar laugh, you'd probably look around to try to see if you can see whether you know who that person is. You'd probably look around and try to see if you can see them and say something to them or greet them in some way. You know that person. And so when they speak, you know they're around here somewhere. Well, listen to me now. If you're going to be able to hear the Holy Spirit when He speaks to you, then you've got to get to know Him as a person. You got to get to know Him so that when He's speaking, you can hear. You say, well, I don't understand how I can hear Him, if He doesn't speak like, you know, audibly, the Holy Spirit. If He doesn't speak audibly, how am I going to hear Him? Oh, no, listen to me now. He lives in here, inside of you. You see, when the Spirit of God is indwelling you, you don't have to have something from the outside. You've got something going on the inside. As a matter of fact, you can hear Him even clearer than you could if you was listening to Him on the outside. You know what I found out? I found out when you get a little bit older, some of you are going to find this out one of these days, but as you get older, your hearing doesn't do so well. And by the way, your listening doesn't either sometimes. Yeah, and I've noticed that about some of you, and that is some of you that are in this room right now, I've noticed when I'm talking to you, I better get on one side and not the other. And the reason why is because that one ear is not very good, and the other one you can hear out of. And I try to remember that so I can get on the right side so that you can hear what I'm saying. And that's the reason why I have to wear this microphone. We crank it up once in a while. And the reason why is because I can tell you're not listening very good. And so the guys upstairs maybe just give me a little more volume just to wake you up. Well, I'm just kidding about that, but nevertheless, the hearing. But I'll tell you, listen to me, no matter how old you get, and listen, no matter how hard hearing you become, if you're saved, you can hear the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the reason why is because He's not speaking to them the outside in an audible voice that you're going to miss, but He speaks to you on the inside in your heart. If you'll get to know Him, you can hear Him when He speaks. In your heart. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to get to know Him. Well, one of the ways that you can get to know Him is by spending some time just in His presence in prayer. Do you know what you, when you get alone with the Lord and really begin to walk with God in prayer? Now, when I'm talking about that, I'm not talking about just saying prayers, but I'm talking about getting in the presence of God in prayer. Spending some unrushed time alone with Him. Getting confessed up, cleaned up, your heart unburdened, and to where you begin to experience God's presence in prayer. Do you know that when you begin to experience God's presence in prayer, do you know that it's God the Holy Spirit that you're experiencing? Well, the Bible tells that in the book of Romans. Listen to what the Word of God tells us in Romans chapter number 8 real quick. In Romans chapter number 8, the Bible says in verse number 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know what to pray for. Sometimes you and I need to learn how to pray. How do I pray? Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 26, it says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I get alone with God and we begin to pray, the Spirit of God begins to work in that prayer time. He begins to help us pray. You see, you and I, a lot of times, we don't know what to pray for. So the Spirit of God, who knows the mind of God, begins to reveal to us the will of God so that we can begin to pray. He begins to move on the inside of us, the Bible says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. You say, Pastor, what is that talking about? It's talking about the Spirit of God just burdening your heart on the inside about how to pray and who to pray for and what to pray for. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. If you want to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit, then you can get to know Him by getting alone with God and spending some time seeking Him in prayer. And He'll show up. He's already there. And you'll begin to encounter Him and get to know Him. And for just spend some time alone with Him in prayer. And He'll help you. Do you know that you not only can get to know Him through prayer, but also through the Word? Through the Bible. You say, what's the Bible got to do with it? Well, He's the one who inspired this book. Well, He did. Did you know what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21? It's talking about the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a sure word of prophecy. It's like a light that is shining in a dark place. And He's talking about the Word of God. And He says this, and that is the holy men of God, ladies and gentlemen, the prophets and those who gave us the Word of God, that holy men of God spoke, that is the prophets, and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. When Paul was writing in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, he told Timothy, he said, Timothy, whatever you do, as you continue to live out in the last days and continue to share the gospel in the last days, whatever you do, continue in the Word. Continue in this book. I mean, the Word of God, hey, the same Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures that made you wise to salvation, he said, stay with the Word of God. And the reason why is because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that little phrase, given by inspiration of God, ladies and gentlemen, means that the Scriptures are God-breathed. That is, the source of the Scripture is the divine breath. And the word breath or breathe is the same word that is also translated spirit. So here's what it means. And that is the divine breath. The divine breath gave us this book, and it's referring to the Holy Spirit. This book is divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. It came from Him. The Word of God did. It's His letter, book, to you. You want to get to know Him? This book is the answer. Did you know it's called the sword of the Spirit? And it is. The Word of God. Here's what I'm trying to teach you is how to be filled with the Spirit. Because if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're not going to give thanks in everything. And if you're not giving thanks in everything, you're going to miss out on the will of God for your life. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you've got to abandon everything that grieves Him. You've got to yield completely to His purpose. You've got to follow fully His direction. And you've got to get to know Him as a person through the Word and in prayer. So you can hear what He's saying and follow Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your truth, Your people, and Your Word, and we pray that You'll help us to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit, to follow Him. Father, I pray, God, that You would teach us, grow us in Your Word. Spirit of God, would You operate in our hearts so we can get to know You even better, be filled with Your presence and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.